and now Evangelist David Shannon.
Open, if you will, to John, the 18th chapter. Read with me, if you will, beginning at verse 33. And as we read, I want you to really think about what Jesus is saying about the King and the Kingdom of Heaven. Verse 33, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, 'Art thou the King of the Jews?' Jesus answered him, 'Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?'" So he says, listen, are you asking me because someone sent you in here to ask me that? Or are you really curious if I'm the King? Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests had delivered thee into me. What hast thou done?" So he says, listen. He says, your people's the ones that brought you here. I'm just trying to figure out why your own people would bring you and want to convict you. 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." And at that time he tried to release Jesus, and they said, no, release unto us Barabbas. It's amazing as we study this passage that Jesus, in just a few simple explanations in 36 and 37, was able to convince Pilate of something that he could not convince his followers of for months and even years. For all of this time, Jesus had been working with his apostles and with the disciples, trying to convince them that they should be a part of the kingdom. And what do? They come up and they say, "Let me sit on the right-hand side of the kingdom. Let me have this office in the kingdom. Where's this kingdom going to be built, Lord? Where on earth is this kingdom going to be?" And they couldn't understand that when Jesus spoke of the kingdom of heaven, it was nothing whatsoever earthly, that it was a spiritual kingdom. Isn't it strange that here Pilate's able to walk in and to ask him just a few questions? Okay, what about this kingdom? You see, the reason he walked back into this hall to find Jesus to begin with was that the people were crying out, "He's trying to be king over Caesar. He's trying to take Caesar's place." So he goes back and he says, "Are you a king? Are you trying to build a kingdom?" And Jesus gives him two simple answers. He says, "The kingdom that I build is not of this earth." And then he says, "Yes, I am a king. That's the reason I was born on this earth, and that's the reason I'm living." And he didn't say it, but that's the reason that he was going to die, was so he could be the king of this kingdom. Brethren, today, there's two simple but powerful things we can learn about the kingdom that will help us so much. If you will, look with me in Luke, the 17th chapter. In Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning in verse 20, I want you to remember what Jesus was emphasizing in this chapter for all of our lives. Luke 17, 20, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees," Jesus is being questioned again by the Pharisees, "when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, and lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" He says, listen, you're not going to see literally the kingdom of God being built. And you can't say, "Lo, look over there and see the palace that the kingdom of heaven is in. And lo, look over here and see the kingdom that is the borderland. And this is all the borderland of the kingdom of heaven." No, the kingdom of heaven, according to verse 21, is within you. There's not a soul present this evening that does not have the potential to have the kingdom of heaven within you. Many here tonight probably already do. All of us have that potential. It's nothing physical. It's a spiritual kingdom that can be built. You know, when we think about the prayer that Jesus tried to give an example so that the apostles would know how to pray, have you thought about what that prayer said? He said, pray, your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now think about that. Those first two phrases are not two totally different things. He was using parallelism. He was using one statement and then turning around and using another statement to explain it. Lord, what do you mean, thy kingdom come? Where are you going to build it? Where's that palace going to be? No, he didn't say that kingdom's going to come down and you're going to see a big castle and everyone that is a Christian will be in there and people in the world can just step back and say, now anyone inside that kingdom is Christians. They are Christians. Anyone inside that kingdom. It's not anything physical. He said, thy kingdom come. Well, how do you become a part of that kingdom? Thy will be done. It's that simple. Now let's think about this for a moment. Lord, how long am I in that kingdom? We're in that kingdom as long as we're doing the same thing that brought us in it to begin with. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As long as I'm doing the will of God, I'm in the kingdom of heaven. And brethren, any time I stop doing the will of God, the kingdom has not come into my life. It's that simple. Now, praise the Lord that when judgment day comes, from the understanding of the Scriptures that we can read, it promises that once heaven is our home, that it cannot be taken away from us. That heavenly home is eternal. But brethren, as long as I'm on this earth, I'm a part of the kingdom as long as I'm willing to do what it takes to be a part of that kingdom. It's spiritual. It's not something so that I say, well, I've stepped over into this physical life here of this kingdom, and I'm here forever. You can't take me out of this little box. This is my kingdom of heaven. No, it's a daily kingdom. It's something every morning that I pick up myself and I say, I want to be in the kingdom of heaven. And I must obey the will of God. But let's notice the second thing about the kingdom of heaven and we'll close. You remember in John, the third chapter, we studied several weeks ago as we began our study in John. We learned a very powerful point there. Nicodemus wanted to know about this kingdom. And so in John, the third chapter, beginning with verse 3, Jesus answered him and said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's that simple. If we're not born again, we can't see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, Nicodemus is confused here, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We must, to enter into this heaven, do the will of God. Here Jesus tells Nicodemus one of the final step of entering into the kingdom of God, and that is to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Now we know that as we look over the entire New Testament and we piece it all together, that there are many things that are required in obedience. There's no one passage that we can turn to and say, now this one passage within one or two verses includes everything that is needed to become a child of God. The Bible's not written in that way. We must read and study to show ourselves approved so that we will know the truth. Have you thought for a moment when those that try to disregard part of the truth as salvation, for salvation, and they say, well, this verse says believe. And then in that same verse where it says believe, it says that that's unto salvation. And they want to think that that's the only thing unto salvation. Have you ever thought if we applied that same thing to the creation, how ridiculous it would be? Can you imagine someone looking at the fishes in the sea and saying, now God created those fishes in the sea because I read it in a passage in Genesis. But yet point to woman and say, but God didn't create woman. Because in that same passage where I read about that little bit of the creation, woman was not mentioned there. That was over a few chapters. Brethren, if we are going to learn anything about the Word of God, and for it to stand as truth, we must learn all that the Word contains. We cannot pick it apart. And we cannot say that this one verse is all of the truth, because if it were that way, we would only have that one verse. We have the entire truth. And if I want to be in the kingdom of heaven, I must be willing to observe the entire truth that God has given me. And once I observe it and I obey the truth in its entirety, it's then that I will be obeying the will of God, and it's then that I will have the keys to the kingdom of the heaven. Tonight, where do you stand? Do you have that home in heaven? You see, the kingdom of heaven begins upon this earth. Everyone that will be in the kingdom of heaven on the other side of judgment started in the kingdom of heaven this side. Are you in the kingdom of heaven tonight? Have you obeyed His will? Do you realize that we're not speaking of something physical, that the Bible teaches over and over that it's a spiritual kingdom? If you're not a child of God, the Scriptures teach us that we have to hear the Word. We can't obey something that we never heard. We must believe it. We must turn away from our sins, and we must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we must be born again in that watery grave of baptism. And then we're part of that kingdom. And we can rejoice on Judgment Day, because we stay faithful, we'll be in that other side of the heavenly kingdom. Think about the importance of being in that kingdom.